Hey, Reno.
What's up?
Have you ever fallen in love before?
Only once that mattered.
That's right. Lawrence, how about you?
Once.
Let's hear about it.
Let's go!
Like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at itisallbad.
And check us out on the Patreon. Come on, spend a little cheese. Don't sneeze, don't cough, just break me off.
And also, watch us up on YouTube. We've leveled up and we got professional recording for you to see us all in action.
All right, welcome back to It's All Bad. I'm Danny.
I'm Reno.
I'm Lawrence.
And we're here with a very, very, very special guest today.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Ashley, what's up?
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. Hi, Lawrence.
So this is a very interesting story here about the backstory of this episode. So Lawrence, who is one of our maybe like definite fan favorite guests of all time. There's no doubt about it. If there's one guest, you know, started off as our guest, first time we had him on, what, over 3 years ago?
3 years?
Yeah,
wow.
Crazy, yeah.
Wow.
Who then came back again and was the fans love you so much that then we brought you on as a, that you started engineering for us, then you came on as a guest host, then you came on as a co-host.
Yeah.
And then
I love It's All Bad.
Yeah, and that's all, and we love you, man. You're a part of this. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then, about how long ago?
November.
November of 2020.
Last year,
whatever that year was. Ashley is on Spotify and is looking up.
Oh no! Okay. I found it last summer.
Uh-huh.
There's just crazy stuff going on, and just needed to research and understand more of the shit that I was recognizing and didn't know. So went on Spotify, typed in meth, and saw meth and masturbation with Lawrence and said, fuck it, let's see what this is. And it just sucked me in. But it was like 8 hours a day every day for like 3-4 months. It's just all I listened to is this podcast.
Wow.
That's so rad. That's so badass. And you started listening to, you sought out a meth podcast because you said everybody in your town was doing meth?
Yeah. So it's interesting though because my mom was a meth head. So yeah. I didn't realize that the things that I was recognizing with the people that, like, I hadn't been out in like 2 years. So I stepped out and I didn't realize shit had gotten as bad as it did.
Yeah.
So, but it was also recognizing like what people were doing or like random shit over there, like just random shit. So I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Like crafting at three in the morning.
Like weird, you know? Erratic, yeah. Like odd shit. Yeah. But like this podcast literally has changed my life, like saved my life.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I learned, I mean, all the shit, man. Like it really was humbling though. It made me realize that I was never that bad, but it really helped me.
So Danny and Reno, we're bad.
That's cool. You know,
I'm from Central Illinois, and it's like I call myself one of the children of the corn. If that makes sense, like.
Oh, that's so, what it's like in Central Illinois, like almost to Indiana.
It's just a bunch of like hillbillies and meth, really, anymore. But out here's a different world. This is L.A. There's like 14 million people here, and there's how many people are in my town?
80,000.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably when you move there, probably 40.
It seems big to me, but it's not. But this is a different world out here. So listening to this podcast is great. Like it. It was very educational and informative, but really humbling.
But I was tripping out, like, who would like a guy that talks about putting shards in his dick? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
I was like, oh my God, that's
that was
hot.
Just a moment. That was just a moment.
Puts
of
an atomizer
up.
Shout out to Margaret Cho. Puts an atomizer up his butthole. You know what I'm saying? Like, how's that like fandom? You know, but
it's
like,
not fandom. It's comedic quality. It's great.
You had Margaret Cho pause for a moment and go, I want to do that.
Yeah. Rad. Like, she's rad. I really.
Yeah.
So funny. So you heard something in Lawrence's share and his story, and you were like, I need to get in touch with this guy.
It was very similar. I don't know. Really, he's got a great voice, first off. But
yes, he does.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
I kind of went through a lot of the same shit, so I really understood. And I know he says that he doesn't know why any girl would be into him, but.
Look at this hunk of man.
Man, I don't know what I am. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful to God for, you know, 12 steps and A and spiritual awakening.
You're an amazing guy, man.
Thanks, man. That's
great
crazy.
Friend.
Yeah. And Lawrence just celebrated 2 years last week.
Yes, on Monday. Woo! 2 years.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have two more days in. That's what got me the secretary.
That's so good.
Yeah, fucking rad.
I love that.
I love you, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, but so cool. I mean, like, it's, I don't know. It's kind of like when you started, like, when did you start using?
What?
You know, because, like, I mean, I, like, so, like...
Which thing?
I mean, like Ash and I, we have, like, a cool, loving relationship, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I never, like, dive too deep into her using, because, like, it's, like, you know, I don't regret the past, nor would just shut the door on it, but I'm, like, oh, you did meth, you did this or that, she did meth a couple, five times, but, like, deep into it, so that's kind of cool to be on this podcast, that actually, this is a live thing.
Yeah.
That's, we're breaking it down right now.
Yeah.
It's not like we talked about all this shit, it's, like, really happening right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. Like, I do know she was raised on a meth farm.
What?
I mean, it's okay. Just like, no, so it's just this is like a commune place that we landed at. My mom just moved us around all the time, but we landed on this property, and I always call it commune. There's just a lot of people in and out. Like, everybody's doing dope, smoking. Like, it's where I first saw AIDS for the first time when I was 11.
Oh, wow.
And where I learned about hepatitis because one of the kids pissed me off, so I ran his toothbrush under the rim of the toilet. But I thought it was just, like, so brilliant. I couldn't keep it to myself. Then I got a little sit down in the corner, like, oh, hey, so this is why you can't do that. And yeah, it's just a really fucked up place, but it's kind of where I got my roots, I guess, and where my life turned around. It's where I started smoking weed and popping pills. And there's just a lot of bad shit, but I enjoyed it.
On this commune, there was like good and bad type stuff happening.
Yeah, so the lady that owned the property, she actually shot her son-in-law for the bag of dope in his pocket.
Damn.
And, she got away with that shit. Yeah.
Damn, she shot him for the bag of dope in his pocket.
Shot him dead, ran his pockets.
That petty.
I mean, how'd she get away? How'd she get?
Yeah. She just claimed the gun went off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
But, like, a ton of
but she got
right?
that bag?
I don't even know.
Cops come out, she's just like smoking a Virginia Slims. She's bitch is like, I don't know, the shit just went off.
Yeah. She was cool though. Like, that happened a bit before my time, but she and her.
But everybody was like, don't fuck with her.
That's how she gets down. Like, she was cool. She gave me like a Hershey kiss every time I brushed my hair. And we used to kick in, like, smoke little bowls and shit and hit her odds on the. She lived in a school bus and on the front of the property. And we just sit out there and watch Twister on repeat and get high, and she'd give me candy for brushing my hair. So there was some structure, but, like, don't get me wrong.
That's structure, right? I mean, you know, giving candy for brushing your hair.
Yeah,
right?
That's wild.
Twister, the hit movie.
I've always had this sick obsession with tornadoes. Like, I didn't want to end up one of those, like, people that I would see on the news that just, like, devastatingly lost everything. So I always had, like, my disaster bag ready. I had my teddy bear, my baby pictures with my clothes, all that shit. So, like, Twister's just, like, a thing for me. It's fucked up.
Twisters are a thing in Central Illinois.
They are, yeah.
Have you ever seen a tornado with your own two eyes?
No, actually, recently, yeah. We had one come down. It didn't fully touch, but we did have one years ago that kind of destroyed this small town, Morton. And I had a buddy that was doing, like, construction cleanup, and he found some, like, weird sex dungeon shit.
Wow.
It was pretty tight to hear about. But yeah, I was like, damn, he said this old lady was, like, hiding all, like, bashful behind her car, and she didn't want anybody to see. And he got closer, and it was just, like, chains and whips and all sorts of shit, because all that was left was the fucking basement.
Wow.
It was, like, painted, black and red. It was fucked up. Yeah, tornadoes, man. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Oh,
that's fucking awesome. That's awesome. If that were out here, there'd be like a team of people helping her preserve it. You know what I mean? Like that's how she earns her living.
Yeah.
God damn it. You know what I mean?
The perfect that's, trap for she's sex would. Positive.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, so you're on the commune watching Twister, smoking little bowls, getting a Hershey's kiss from the lady that shot her son.
Yeah,
for brushing your hair. Wow. And where does it go from there? What's the next, you know?
I don't know. Back and forth with my mom a lot. She was really sick.
She used meth?
Yeah, she used meth. And I guess I didn't realize it when I was younger. My dad told me a couple years ago that I had made a comment around the age of 7. I was, like, overhearing a conversation. I just, like, chimed in, like, what, is she a meth head? I don't remember that. But now I can recognize these things and understand, like, my mom used to bring in these, like, call girls or, like, strippers, and she'd turn them out. Like, my mom was a pimp, and she was dealing meth and
running girls.
Yeah, dude. And I didn't realize any of this until I got older.
Yeah.
But me, I've only smoked meth a couple times, maybe, like, 7 times total. But really, coke was my drug of choice.
It was your jam.
Smoking crack.
Right? Yeah, I only smoke crack. I don't know how many times, this is more recent, but 2020 is the first time I smoked crack, but the couple times I smoked meth, I was really thankful because not only did it lead me here and to him, but I was able to understand life from both sides of the pipe.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that.
That's
and
a great fucking title for a book right there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, both sides of the pipe. Well, seriously, because I it's like subconsciously I knew that my childhood is mad fucked up.
Yeah.
And now that I'm older and it sounds so like awful to say, I'm thankful that I smoked meth.
Yeah.
And I kind of did do it with that intention to understand what the fuck was this that grabbed a hold of my mom like that. Like, it's a demon. It is a demon, you know?
It's a disease, man. Yeah.
And I mean, personally, like, I felt it, but I didn't let it keep a hold of me.
Yeah.
And now I know both ends of the pipe. I get it. But,
I mean, you hope, like, you know, it's funny because, you know, you hope and wish when people have children or they have like a big opportunity in their life that like they'll set that shit aside and show up for that. But addiction is way stronger than any of that shit. Like, you know, where I went deep on learning a lot about that actually in Tarzana. These dudes were kind of breaking down the mental side of it and how like addiction lives in like the limbic system of your brain, which is basically the part of your brain that like fight, flight, hunt, gather, eat, like, you know, it's like the most basic fucking shit.
Yeah.
Maternal instincts, all that. And it just completely takes all that over. That's why dope fiends don't eat.
Yeah.
They don't fucking bathe. You know, if you're in it that to that level, like the people you see living on the streets of Hollywood, it's like, you know, people just set aside their maternal and paternal duties for the shit. Because it drives you, you know what I mean? And it's like, you probably were able to understand at that point.
Yeah, actually, I got in my trouble, but it wasn't specifically for drugs. But yeah, I'm thankful that I guess I was stronger than that. But
yeah,
I didn't want to lose everything. I didn't want to fuck my life up. And like, going out last summer and realizing that these people that are my people, you know, like, in my town years ago, it was just coke. It was coke, and then everybody started smoking foilies, and now everybody's smoking crack, and now there's no white around, so everybody's just on meth, and it's fucking disgusting. Like, it's horrible to see what this is doing, and again, it just, like, reminds me of my childhood. Like, this shit's coming full circle. Like, 90s fashion is back, and now it's, like, the 90s all over again. Everybody's just smoking dope, like, and everybody's so ashamed of it, and I'm just like, I did it too. Like, why are you guys so afraid to admit it? Like, nobody cared 4 years ago when we were all just fucking like boofing blow into each other's assholes, you know, like nobody fucking cares.
Wow, really?
Like,
yeah, okay.
I don't know. I guess like in my town, like I'm kind of known for like being that person with no filter and like being an open book. And I really have like no problem saying, yeah, guys, like fuck you. I was smoking it too. I just smoked with you the other day. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, don't tell anybody, bitch. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, like,
That's how like where I grew up too. People will be, as soon as you're like crossing the line, it's all like, don't tell anybody. I remember like specifically this one example is super funny. Like, this buddy of mine was a dope cook out there, like a big dope cook. And like, it was, his whole thing was like, he didn't use though. You know what I mean? Like, he you know, but like, I knew him earlier on and we used to fuck around, but he would be, oh, I just take Vicodins and I just do this and that, whatever. And then like, I started getting high on speed again. So all of a sudden I wasn't inner circle with him anymore. You know what I mean? Cause I was in it again. Still loved me, had a lot of love for me, but like, was like, you know, you're over here now. And I was in this room with, he was in a room with this girl and they were hitting the pookie. And then I walked in and she was blowing out a big old hit. And he's like, don't be blowing that shit on me. And like walked out of the room. And then she was like, he was just fucking in the pipe. Oh my God. You know, but he's, he's over there moving away. He's got a reputation to uphold. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so crazy. It just brings out all that like weird people on meth are just unable to tell the truth, period, at all. Yeah. It's like such a, it's so crazy, but you're just unable to tell the fucking truth.
Man, I'm just thankful. And again, it sounds weird in my mind, but I'm so thankful that I decided, because man, it's been so healing. Like, meth healed me in the weirdest ways possible, but I'm really thankful.
But like, when you hear the episode, you hear like me like just jacking off smoking meth.
This shit's so funny, and it's tragic and sad, but it's so good. Shit's gold. It sucked me in.
Really?
Yeah. One, it's your voice, and two, like, you have an amazing story. It's sad, but you're an amazing person.
I'm all right. Yeah.
I mean, think like, you're great.
No. You're
no, really you are yeah, a you are, beacon of light. Person,
so, like, basically, like, Danny made a post on IG saying, hey, yo, what kind of like topics would you like us to like bring up again? And then Ashley.
Hella people were, Lawrence, bring back Lawrence.
No, but like, Ashley said, like, actually said, like, oh, Lawrence, he was the first episode I listened to. And I was like, all right, this is a girl. Good. Girl. Good. Girl is good. Let's click. I click. I'm like, oh, this girl's pretty cute. Dude. All right, cool. And then, like, basically that night, I was like, you know what? It's all good. I'm just going to say, you know what I'm saying? It's all good. I was like, yo, like, hey, hi. It's was I really your first episode you listened to? And by the way, it's Lawrence from It's All Bad. And then I just fell asleep.
Oh, yeah, because his Instagram name was probably something kooky.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Saint Laurent Beats.
Yeah, so then I fell asleep.
Saint,
I'm like,
what?
Saint Laurent Beats, like. Because of Annie Hardy, like, Annie, love you, Annie. She's like, yeah, you should be called Saint Laurent because it's like Saint Lawrence.
I like that, though.
She's putting she's always putting the God concept and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, but then I like fell asleep.
It was a good name.
I fell asleep, and then my phone started ringing, and like, you know when you know your ringtone, right? Dun, 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 whatever. But like, yeah. A different ringtone. Tone happened. I've never heard it before. And Instagram has video chat.
Yeah.
Have you ever used video games or
chat?
I never have. And so like it was like da, 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 and I was like, that's a weird ass tone. And then it was like 5 in the morning, right? 5 in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And my whole room is black. I look at the phone and it's saying call from Ashley from Instagram. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, so I'm trying to like, I'm startled. I'm like, holy shit, a girl's never called me this early in my entire life. You know, I'm like, this is so fucking cool, you know? But then I was like 5 a.m. and I didn't really realize it, but I thought, damn, instantly in my head, I'm like, damn, she must be high because it's like 5 a.m. I'm like, all right, fuck it, let's go. You know what I'm saying? So like, I pick it up and then like, it's all bright and light outside. And then I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, it's like, hey. And she's like, oh my God, it's you. I'm like, I got some celebrity. I'm just a dude that jacked off my life and got sober. You know what I'm saying? Nothing really special. Nothing super like heroic. You know what I'm saying, dude? You're like, I can't believe you're real.
I thought it was a scam because originally Keith started following me and I was like, is this real? And then I hit him up about some magazines that I had that ended up getting swiped by some tweaker. But yeah, so like, I wasn't really sure. Like, what was going on? I didn't think it was real.
And then you're like, oh my God, it's you. And then what'd you guys talk about?
We just talked. And ever since then, we've been FaceTiming like 4 hours a day.
It was more than that at first.
Like, 10, 12 hours a day. Crazy, yeah.
Now we're locked down, though.
So yeah. It was interesting.
So wild. Yeah.
It was trippy because,
yeah,
like,
so cool.
Like the friend zone always like was something in terms of like the recovery thing. I always relapsed off that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never had to, like, I always thought, like, I was worthless, you know, because the repetition of the pornography and the methamphetamine, it builds the shame.
Yeah.
And the shame is also, is like, you see, like, the humongous, like, you know, like, dicks and shit and, like, all the weird talk that, like, really minimizes and makes someone feel really small. You know what I'm saying? It's down to, like, bring you down and make you, like, feel like you're worthless. You know what I'm saying? It makes you feel like that what you're looking at is reality and it's really not.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, it's just, like, and then so it's really interesting to, like, talking to a girl, like being sober, it's really strange. You know, someone that's pretty, it's like, whoa, what the fuck's going on here? You know? And like, it's like, we started talking on FaceTime for a while, you know, for about a week. And I was like, does she like me? Is she just going to like, just say we're friends or hi? I really appreciate the podcast as a fan. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not looking for anything. But then something happened. Like she said, there was this plant. She's like, she collects dead things. She's a very, like, she collects dead things because, like, with her mom was always in and out of the hospital. She has some sort of, like, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, some sort of, like obsession with death. Like, not in, like, an evil way, but just, like, the curiosity of death in itself, you know? But she collects all these plants, right? So she had this plant that she found on the side of the freeway. Literally, that's some...
it's in the garbage.
Yeah, it's in the garbage. So she got it, and then, and like, her room's super clean. Her house is clean, you know? She's a house cleaner. She just looks flawless, you know?
Well,
so
except for that one time.
Yeah, she's not even on meth. She's fucking clean, you know what I'm saying? It's and you see, and everyone who's seen my episode, you see that room I was in? My room, you know, I love you, Keith. Keith gives me a lot of, like, you know, a lot of slack. You know what I'm saying? My room sometimes gets a little fucked up.
I cleaned it.
You
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He cleaned my house. Yeah, but
I did
but
like then, 8 loads of laundry today.
8 loads. Oh, no. I kept buying socks. Yeah. I keep buying socks because, like, I don't want to wash them. So I have so many socks that like,
and
like
socks are literally like $6.
Yeah. I'm just like balling so hard. I just keep buying socks.
Yo, life hack though, like if you're gonna do that, always make sure to get the same kind of socks because you don't want to spend hours matching fucking socks.
Wow, life pro tip, LPT. But you know, but then and then so like she's like I need to water the plant, so she waters the plant, but she's not wearing any underwear.
No,
so like,
I didn't have pants. I had underwear on. I just didn't have bottoms.
Yeah, but like, so like, she like, this is the first time she exposed her body. I thought, did she just water the plant to show me her ass?
Honestly, I wasn't even thinking about it because it was just I'm like, me did this really?
And, you know, and I was like, whoa. I was like, cool, dude. Like, this might mean sex. I mean, like, I mean, my very the limbic system. I was totally like, dude, this is really my
sex,
sex, sex, sex, sex. You know. So then I was like, fucking, that's awesome, dude. And then after that, like, So it wasn't really trying to like...
No, that was not my intention. I was just at home with my kid, man. I really wasn't thinking about it.
Okay, I thought you were. Like, I thought you were being sneaky. But like, you know, but either way, it worked. I was like, pretty crazy stuff, you know? But then, you know, it's like, I don't know.
It was a Freudian slip, as they say, you know what I mean?
It's all bad changed my life. It's all bad changed my life. You know,
dude, that's so wild, man.
Yeah, man. I never really imagined, like, because, like, it's I think it's interesting because, like, for, like, Ashley, it's, like, it really helped her. You know what I'm saying?
It really,
like,
did so much.
Like, in a lot of places in the U.S., like, recovery's not, like, prevalent. Yeah. It's really not like
especially
that.
Especially not in rural
areas. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, like, the means you get is what you get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? L.A. is like, oh, fuck that. You hear if you don't like this meeting, go to another one. It's not like that in most, like middle America. It's not like, oh, just go to another meeting. It's like, no, that's the meeting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
You watch any of these documentaries about, like, if you've watched anything around, like, the opioid epidemic, you watch documentaries about some of these, like, you know, hillbilly towns or some of these towns that are in the middle of nowhere. It's like one fucking treatment center, and it's like they're fucking sick of you. You've been there fucking 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, like, and it's one meeting hall, and it's like either, like, your choice is to hang out with these fucking people and be, like, miserable with your fucking teeth gritted or to go run amok.
How many treatment centers are, like, in, like...
Honestly, I couldn't tell you because I haven't been that far into it. We have one, like, main one. It's Chestnut. I do know back in the day, there was this little thing that the judges had going. The judges, they all owned the lighthouse, and this is like my parents' time, so the judges would court order you to go to the rehab that they owned. So they were constantly just like sticking it to everybody back in the day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, Chestnut's okay, I guess, but I've never been in treatment. I've never gone to treatment, but I know that that's the big one. They also have just like healthcare stuff for the community, which is really great because we do have, it's a lot of lower income people, a lot of college kids. So, I don't know. The one treatment center that we do have, it does a lot for our community there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, that's so, awesome. Like, this person that who's the guy you went to the meeting with? You went to the same, and he just recently relapsed. The guy who went to the school meeting, but there's only 2 people there.
Oh, yeah. He had a seizure the other day. He was on his way to Cedar Lake, and he had a seizure in the car with the dude that was giving him a ride, actually. I forgot to tell you about that.
It's just wild, though, because, like, it's like, so, like, she's going to meetings, and the guy's like, oh, he's so excited that there's a meeting, but in this meeting, there's only 2 people. And that's excitement. It's like, holy, how privileged and how lucky are we in L.A.?
We went, when Camille and I went to, last year, we were in this place called Isla, I don't know how to pronounce it, Isla Holbosch, you know? So it's, you fly into Cancun, and then you take a little boat, and it's like a little island where there's no cars on it. You ride bikes, or they're like, you take like little golf carts around the whole island. You know, it's beautiful. Yeah, and as we get there at night, like, you get in, you know, and then you take a van to a thing, and then you take a boat to the little golf cart that'll get you. And we're driving, we see this, we see like a fucking circle with the triangle in it, you know? And I was like, damn, they got a meeting here, you know? We were there for like 4 or 5 days, and I was like, we got to go to the meeting. And one of the nights we went, you know, we finally, like, one of the last, we rented bikes from this guy. And I kind of, like, there was like a few bike rental places, and the one we rented them from was downstairs from the meeting hall, you know? And I was like, and I had it planned. I was like, we're going to return the bikes by 6. I saw there was a meeting, you know, when the light was on, there was a meeting that happened, you know? And I was like, we'll return the bikes at 6. And the meeting, I think, is like in the evening. So we'll go and pop in. And so we go there and we get the bikes and we're like, hey, can we extend them? Because we were having fun and riding around and we didn't make it back in time. So we get there and when we go to return the bikes later at night, I see that the light was on in the little place. And I was like, oh, man, we got to go in there. We got to go check it out, you know. And Camille's like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, it's not the same as it's not going to be a meeting like our meetings, you know. It's like, you know, like, this is like, you know, you guys see like the Grupo de Cleveland or whatever, you know, where they're like screaming and singing. And, you know, it's like it's a different breed, you know. So she's like, I didn't know what it was, but I want to go. I'm in a different country. I want to see my people, And we walk into the room, and first of all, the guy that we rented our bicycles from was the secretary of this group.
No way.
Oh, my God. And it was a Spanish-speaking meeting, you know, and I was like, whatever. Like, I don't, you know, like, whatever. And then they, like, offered. They were like, hey, would you like to share? I was like, hey, I'm not going to, like, you know, I was like, I can't share in Spanish, you know? And they're like, it's okay. It's like a tourist town. We understand fucking English, you know? And they, like, invited me to share. And this dude came up to me after, and he goes, you know, I moved here I forgot where he lived, you know, but he goes, but I moved here to start this business 10 years ago. And when I moved here, there was no, the nearest meeting was in, fuck was it? It wasn't Tulum, whatever. It was in some, you know, so like it was in some big in Playa del Carmen. He goes, the only meeting that happened was in Playa del Carmen, which we ended up going to that meeting. And he goes, and you would go to Playa del Carmen, and it was there was a meeting there once a week. So I moved here, and he goes, and my service was I was gonna start a meeting here, and I was gonna wait for another alcoholic to show up. He goes, and I started this meeting, and I listed it in the, you know, and I listed it. I called central office. I got some books sent to us. I made a format, and I sat there. He goes, and I sat there every Wednesday or whatever, you know, for, I think he said 4 years.
God
damn.
Think
he said 2 years. Every Wednesday, waiting for another alcoholic to show up. And dude, he goes, that was my service to Alcoholics Anonymous, just waiting for another alcoholic
That's
to show
amazing.
Up.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and we got there, and it was like, dude, every day, three meetings, you know, like book study. There was like a 12 and 12 meeting, a book study, a step study, and then like and a speaker participation meeting every day. There was English speaking meetings.
How
like,
many people
like,
were in there?
Maybe 12 to 14 people.
Oh,
and it was
great.
Cool because, like, we had another day or two after that. And, like, everywhere we went to town, we'd see somebody that was, like, our people, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey,
yeah. It's like you're the foreigners, but your homies are the shit. Yeah. You know, it's like the shipwreck shit on the big book. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That book is so dope.
It's so cool.
Damn,
yeah.
Dude.
And they're, like, they go in, you know, every day. Like, there's a meeting on a step. There's a meeting on a tradition. Yeah. There's a meeting on, like, you know, like, it's cool.
I think it's more wholesome because it's really tight.
Yeah.
It's like super like anonymous, truly anonymous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're walking in the market, you're like, you look at him, you look at you, and you're like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like the secret club, you know what I'm saying?
There's been times for me where like, you know, I can't say that I was gonna like, I was planning a relapse, you know, but like there was times where like, I'm in my head and some shit comes up, you know, and like whatever, and you just see somebody. And like just having that connection and seeing some, like just going somewhere and running into somebody at fucking Lassen's or like where there's always somebody fucking sober because you're at Lassen's, you know, in Echo Park. Like, but like, there's, you know, but like, you run walking down the aisle, I see somebody, and I'm like, damn, I'm like, I'm right, God, I'm right where I need to be, right when I need to be there, you know? It doesn't, and it's like, and that's happened to me now in different places, and you know, like, different airports around the world, different parts of, you know, and it's like, it's so cool. It's a cool reminder.
Dude, the other night, I was telling the story on the previous podcast, that dinner I went to with my wife, that she got recruited for this new big job, and the recruiter and his partner and my wife and I, we went to dinner in West Hollywood, and we sat down and had this big dinner, and then like, they went to pour wine, and I'm like, none for me, thanks. And the guy who recruited my wife for this role, he also was like, oh, me too. He's like, 30 years. You know what I mean? And like, across the table, we're chopping it up. We gave a little fist bump and then we set it aside. But then after the dinner outside, you know, he recruited my wife for this executive level role, and he's dealing with her boss and like, who's this high level guy and all this kind of stuff. And he pulled me to the side and we start talking. He's like, I have a men's meeting every Saturday at my house. We make breakfast, like, you know, da 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 da, and the Palisades. And, you know, like, it's just like, there's everywhere we go, we're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's really a great feeling to know that, you know, that everywhere there's someone who's gone through something similar to what you've gone through, that what we've gone through, you know what I mean? And that, you know, we have that support. Most people in the world don't have that.
Yeah.
They don't have that connection.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate, I think, at times. Unfortunate to have gone through some of the trauma and some of the things that we've gone through in our lives, but very fortunate to have found each other and found healing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What trips me out is like, so like, I like my higher power, he's really powerful. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like, I like, so in my past, like, I pray for like a girl, right? but I was very, very, like, I was so like,
specific.
So unspecific.
Oh.
And I got fucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, I just want her to be hot. I don't care if she ruins my life. I really prayed for that. I'm like, as long as she's hot and she's good at sex and she, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't care if she ruins my life and she's on drugs. Like I was really that desperate trying to just find like some shitty ass connection. And God was like,
God's like, you're a trick.
Yeah. And God's like, there you go. CRLA, and all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was crazy. But this time it was weird because like this whole sobriety these past 2 years, I made a point. It was a thing. I swear. I never once prayed for myself selfishly. I made it a point to stop myself. Never, ever for self.
Yeah.
Only for others, or if what I did was to help others, right?
Yeah.
I swear this whole
right
time.
Right there in 86, 88.
Yeah. So like I really made that the strong point, you know? But then the thing is, we did the episode with Sean, and like my life was kind of consumed with the podcast. It's like being this podcast is a cool podcast, you know, mm-hmm. and people really enjoy it. And everyone listening, I love all you guys, you know what I'm saying? And gals and them and they, you know what I'm saying? I love everybody, mm-hmm. you know? But like my life got so consumed by it that like I forgot like that like A wasn't the like the principal, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. A wasn't number one, you know? And it kind of fucked me up. And I had like another MS relapse from that, like a really huge MS flare up, and like my shit was all fucked. Remember the episode I couldn't think and I yeah. couldn't, he got fucked up. So combined with that, I just got really in a dark spot, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really cool just to like take that break and just like be like, yo, like just fall back and like get my mind right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, we're all human beings. Yeah. We all, you know, none of us are made of fucking yeah. steel.
And then back know? To that, like, so then like, so then I was like, what happened is when actually the craziest thing is like, okay, so then before that happened, before you made that post, I prayed to God. I swear to God. I'm like, God, I have never asked you for anything this entire sobriety, right? And in my mind, I'm like, okay, Lawrence, if you're going to do this, you need to be specific. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you were very specific last time in, like, the worst way. Like, I don't give a fuck if she ruins my life verbatim, which yeah. has always happened. I said, God, I'm just going to ask you. It's cool if you don't want to, but if you could get me a girl that was thoughtful, kind, considerate, beautiful, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, understanding, like with empathy and kind and generous, that'd be really cool. And it would actually, and I kind of ended it with like, you know, it's like, cause like it would actually give people hope that some guy like this jack off dude can actually like, actually, you know, find some sort of love and find something. So if you want to do that, that's cool. I appreciate you. Thank you. And then 2 days later, I met her. I swear to God.
That's
unbelievable. I can't fucking that's make that
two
shit.
2 days later?
A day later, wow. She made it. I swear to God, dude. And she's everything. She's all that.
Yeah, she is.
Kind,
those
generous,
you guys
thoughtful.
Can't see.
And like, she knows I'm broke. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not like over like presenting myself, you know? And she still yeah. loves me. It's like, it sounds so godly, but like, and it's just like, it appeared wild. Yeah. So crazy. And she's all the way. I think God hooked me up too because like, you know, like, I'm obsessive. So if she was local, I'd be fucked.
Boy, I would be like, I would have already crawled inside of your ass and been posted on camp.
No, but like,
long distance thing is good. Like, I've talked to my sponsor about this, and like, she's super supportive of this on a lot of levels. But I think the long distance thing is good because we would have ruined it already.
Yeah.
And absence does make the heart grow fonder.
I think God was like, yo, like, I'm going to hook you up, but like, slow it down.
Yeah.
Because then I actually got to really know somebody. Because in the past, I just jump in. We just like have, you know, sex and I get super involved in the physical. But I actually got to really know someone this time. So God really hooked my ass up.
Yeah.
He's slow playing on his terms, not mine.
Yeah. That's
awesome. You know, so like, it's just like, it's cool. And then she's here now. And like, it's so weird that she's coming now and being the podcast and she comes by and everything like that. Super cool.
That's so rad. That is such a beautiful thing, you guys. Wow.
It's a trip. Like, I never really had energy like this. Like, I just, everything is like really matching, you know? Never had someone you can just FaceTime all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting. I never used FaceTime before this. Yeah. Very awkward. But my life was so small with meth. Like, you guys did so much dope shit. Like, I kind of like sometimes in like envious. You guys go on, you did the whole kinds of awesome shit. You know what I'm saying? Before it wasn't awesome anymore, so did you. You know what I'm saying? But then like I never did shit. I just stayed in a room. You guys did awesome shit.
That's true.
Yeah, it's some dope ass shit. And like me, I just stayed in a room and jacked off and smoked meth for 20 years.
Yeah, but remember, like flip the perspective because those years really saved you from a lot of shit. Man.
You know,
like,
there is another perspective to look at it from too. I mean, there was a lot of times he or I didn't have a fucking steady place to stay.
Yeah.
Didn't have a place to live, didn't have a fucking place to use the restroom, take a shower, fucking take care of yourself. You know what I mean? Like, and that, like, you know, it talks about in the book, like the four horsemen, the what is it? It's like the despair, you know, all those things that you feel when you're like come to after a fucking crazy bender. Like, to not have a safe place to feel that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's fucked up, man.
We didn't even have a trap dungeon to fucking jack off in. I'm not gonna jack off on the bus, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, goddamn, it's fucking 108 degrees out here. I'm trying to get $40 together to get a room to go jack off in.
Yeah. Wendy's bathroom. That was I've done that once.
I'll be out in a minute.
Oh my God.
I talked to Ashley about it. Ashley's like input is actually really interesting with her perspective. She said in a way, porn protected me in a way. Because what if I got introduced to some weird tricks and, like, I got, you know, with being raised a sheltered way I was, I wouldn't have fucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really, your perspective is kind of interesting with that. Porn, in a way, kind of protected me. I stayed in this bubble, just jacking off, smoking meth for 20 years. But I could have been introduced, like, I wouldn't survive on the streets. I'm not a smart guy. Mm. You're a sophisticated criminal. You know what I'm saying, Danny? you really are.
Smooth criminal.
I'm the one that gets played. I'm the one that gets, like, jacked. And, like, I wouldn't, thank God, in a way, porn is, like, kind of was my, it kind of helped me in a way, because like,
well, and then also it's like, you know, without all of that, you know, with like without you going to where you went and then going, you know, this wouldn't be here, you know, you wouldn't have this relationship, you wouldn't have this today.
Yeah,
well, and like really, like that trauma of his is so similar to mine. I was exposed to a lot of similar things with porn and just off the wall sex shit that young kids shouldn't be around. And
the commune.
Well, not just a commune, just in general. My mom was just like crazy meth head pimp lesbian lady, and there's a lot of neglect, a lot of abuse.
The gypsy.
Yeah, the bad kind of gypsy, not like the cool Ramnichelle ones that they have on TV or whatever.
Like,
but,
she'd be in school only like a week and then move.
Oh my god, this one time, so like this shit fucking traumatized me, right? I couldn't read like high school or like college level until I was an actual like adult out of school, but this. I think it was 11. I went to a school for 4 hours once and never went back. And the only thing I wanted to do was find the fucking library. Mm. And I was there for 4 hours and never went back. Never found the library. Never found the encyclopedia I was looking for. Like, that shit. Yeah, it was bad. But yeah, just like all of that and like constantly moving around, like all of the sexual abuse and all of that. Like I guess that's why I have that perspective, because I kind of have the same perspective for myself and my shit and like how I can't even look at things like that, because in a way porn did save you. It really did. In a way porn saved me too. Like having such an altered perception on like sexuality and like just like sexual reality in general, this is the safest relationship I've ever had. Like I have found safety with Lawrence that I've never known safety in this way. And it's really beautiful. Like, it took a lot of years to gain that perspective, though, and be able to look at it that way.
I love you so much. I love you, Ashley.
I love you, too. I love you so much.
No, but if you look at the perspective, like, we're setting the bar really low, because she dated, like, KKK members. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't date that person. I was trapped.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so, like,
you were held hostage. The bar's
really low. So, it's like, for me, I'm kind of like, you know, it's not that I'm this super cool dude, you know? Like, KKK guy's pretty bad, you know what I'm saying?
I'm nobody either, and you think I'm, like... Yeah. You're I get
why you want to self-deprecate and stuff, but like the fact is like you've got multiple years of recovery. Yeah. You work on a righteous ass program. You're of service to a lot of fucking people. It's hard for us to hear compliments. I get it.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah. I totally get why it's hard to take compliments. You know what I mean? But like, you know, dude, I mean, you deserve this happiness that you guys have found with one another.
Yeah, she's right.
That's awesome, man.
And you're not that person anymore. I fell in love with you for you now.
Yeah,
like, that shit doesn't define you. That shit doesn't. It doesn't. It's not. You know, the fact that you were, and I was too, a drug addicted, sex obsessed person when you were in your disease is not who you are, you know?
Yeah.
I you know, look, I'm a father and, you know, even a husband, and like my wife or my children have never seen me loaded or caught me in a weird lie or any kind of, you know, crazy shit, knock on wood, because I do this thing and I'm aligned with my higher power and I ask him for help and guidance to do the right thing each and every day and show up for the people in my life. But there are times where you find yourself in a certain situation and you're like, you get these flashes of these things that you've been through and places you've been, you're like, fuck, I'm not supposed to be here right now. Or like, am I worthy? Like, that just stays with you. And like fighting through that with the tools that we've been given in the program, the prayer, the fellowship, the communication, things that we're doing right now is therapeutic. You know what I mean? In many ways, it's just like, you know, we just got to work our hardest to shake it off and let ourselves be happy. You know?
I've kind of been sharing about this a bit, you know, and I said this will be my third time repeating myself, you know. It talks about in the, you know, something that I go back and forth with a bunch is like, I go where I'm like, am I living in God's will or am I living in Danny's will? How do I know? How do I know where my will cuts off and God's will picks up? And how do I know where God's will ends off and Danny's will picks up again? Like, how, you know? And I remember Devin sharing years ago, he's like, oh, I know I'm in God's will when I'm being of service to somebody else. That's when I'm being in God's will, you know? And I was like, But I can't be in fucking service. I mean, I could try, but I can't be 24 hours a day. I cannot be in service. And I do, you know, and I do, hey, I'm not like, you know, not to fucking toot my own horn.
Kill it.
I do a lot of service, you, kill it, you know, Danny. Between my family and between my relationship.
You guys.
Know? Yeah. You fucking too, motherfucker, yeah. You know? Yeah. Dave too, shit.
Dude, Dave dragged me out of the truck. Dude, Dave, I love you, Dave. You're shit like a silent, like what do I call you? Like a service robot, service robot. Yeah, yeah. Here I go to 12-step Lawrence with the meth dungeon. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, but,
I picture Dave like a Navy SEAL with you on his shoulder carrying you out of the house. like bullets flying and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But but it talks about there's the thing that I, you know, like I keep reading, like this book comes alive, you know, and time every time I read it, something else stands out to me. And there's like, you know, and then there's the, you know, and it's like the program's in the 164 page. And I don't usually ever go on like AA tangents on here, but hey, here we go. And it was like, then there's the forgotten chapters, you know, and that's the family afterward to wives and a vision for you, you know, which don't really, you know, don't really got too many highlights or underlines or whatever, you know, but in the family afterward, it talks about, or and then to the employer, you know, it talks about, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, right? So if it's, we are sure, you know, that says it in the book that, that's what God wants for us. So is that not God's will when I'm working towards being happy, joyous, and free in whatever way I'm doing that? You know, I don't even know why I started going off on this whole tangent. And then it goes, but we also know that I don't have a thing to quote, you know, but we also know that God does not create our misery. We are responsible for our own misery. Wow. So it's like, all right, so if I'm working towards being fucking if I'm working towards being miserable, Danny's will. If I'm going towards being happy, joyous, and free, God's will.
Right.
Pretty fucking, you know, like it's a pretty easy to be able, yeah.
That
and it
is
says
wild.
It. It says it in the fucking book, you know? That shit's cool.
It's a really good book.
Yeah.
It's
a really good book.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't picked it up. Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Interesting fact, like I haven't watched porn in like probably like, let's say 2.5 months.
Mm.
I haven't watched porn.
Wow.
I swear to God.
Mm.
I have not watched porn.
You're
only her our porn. But I haven't watched porn.
This will not be on the Patreon. Yeah. Don't get it twisted. Their porn will not be on the Patreon.
No, but it's wild. Like I mean, I've had this completely change of self. You know, it's pretty wild just to like, you know, it's like all this stuff that I was compounding in my mind with like pornography and meth and like thinking like, you know, all these crazy things. Like in the first episode, I like, let's talk about it. Like I was like, oh, my dick's too small, right? You know what I'm saying? But like, she says it's not, you know, she's nothing to lie to me about. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking wild.
I mean, I have similar insecurities about my own shit.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure everybody does.
Yeah, it really compounds it. You know what I'm saying? It really brings like a lot of negative. I mean,
that shit's all lighting and angles.
It's all lighting and angles, man. You know what I'm saying, dude? It's fucking wild, dude. You know, yeah. I'm just like.
No, you are just a beautiful human being inside and out.
Yeah, so are you. Awesome. Yeah. I love you.
I love you.
Yeah, wow.
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
Uh-huh.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right. So you got some, I heard you got some stories for us. I heard you got some, you know, I heard you got some bangers, as we like to call them.
The egg or the time I cut the kid's throat?
Let's cut the kid's throat.
Okay. Oh, okay. So,
jeez.
Wow.
God, I was at the bars one night and I got all fucked up and my keys, somebody threw my keys out in my yard. So I thought it'd be good to like break my window instead of just climbing in the one that doesn't lock. So I busted my window out and just being all crazy drunk, suicidal. And somebody came in my house. I guess somebody sent somebody to my house to check on me and I didn't know who it was. And I'm sitting in my clawfoot bathtub with a knife. And I just pop up and grab this cat, like just whole esophagus in my hand. And I don't know, his buddy like tried to like wrestle me off of him or something. I got him in a neck hold and I cut his throat. It was like a paper cut, maybe a little bit thicker, but still I cut his throat. And then years later, I saw him at a meeting and he asked for a ride. He said, hey, nice to see you. I'm in a sober living. Can you give me a ride? And I'm like, probably fucking not, but okay. Cut this kid's throat. I felt bad.
Mm-hmm. You knew, you recognized him. Yeah, he knew. He's like, oh, what's up?
Yeah, I couldn't forget that face. but yeah, so like, let me see your neck. As I'm giving him a ride, he's like, yeah, I'm at the sober living. I'm not supposed to have this. Can I give it to you? And he pulls out this big ass knife that's, I was like, this is not even legal for like anybody to carry, let alone you're not supposed to have it. And it's just like super ironic.
Let alone giving the person that cut his throat a fucking knife.
Homie, do you realize how ironic this is right now? It's like, yeah, fucking take this from you. Yeah.
You still have it? You still have it?
No. I think somebody swiped it, but yeah, that's one. I don't really tell people that I did that because it is a little...
I mean, it sounds like it wasn't too crazy. You were like,
but I did cut his throat.
Yeah, that's true.
I made him bleed. It's scary for me.
Yeah, I guess that is fucking, you know, yeah.
Crazy stuff.
But you said paper cut a little bit bigger, so it's not like you were like, God.
No, God, that's so scary.
How do you start smoking crack at 20?
20? No, it was 2020.
2020? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was during the pandemic. It was with our...
That pandemic is a motherfucker.
It was with our town crackhead, too. I'm going to say his name. I really don't even want to be tied to that name, but I hope he gets well soon. Yeah, that shit was... I guess it was kind of whack. Like, I was smoking some crack last year that I really shouldn't have been, but, you know, I'm here. But you guys used to talk about, what do you call it, like, bell ringers or ear ringers or something?
Yeah, bell ringers.
Dude, so, like, I had that, like, after... I was listening to this podcast because that's how I knew, like, oh, fuck, this is what this is. And I was like, I stopped and, like, almost shit my pants. And I was like, oh, my God. But I've only smoked crack, like, maybe 10 times. But, man, that shit is, woo.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Wears off too fucking fast.
Yeah. You know, I never got into a lot of crazy shit. Like, I had this one girlfriend that was, like, my girl. Mm-hmm. And I really, like, I secretly hoped that we would be together one day. But... she was playing me and she had a boyfriend and she used to just get me like fucked up, man. She was just like, leave me like 2 grams of blow and like I take care of the house, take care of the kids, whatever. The kids never saw me like fucked up though.
Right.
But man, we used to just get fucking slapped on this black box wine. There was one night something happened with an egg and it kind of, it went into a cavity and I forgot about it until I was at a gas station. And she ate that egg the next day. She thought she fed it to me, but I know which one was marked and which one was.
Oh, damn.
That's wild.
Did you say get slapped on black box wine? Is
that
how you say get dropped?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, out here, Lawrence is always, like, using the word narc. So, like, when he was, like, going through my Instagram profile. Oh, is it Annie?
I learned Annie
narc. Okay, so, like, at home, narc is, like...
a cop.
Like a cop or like a snitch, right? Yeah. So like it was really weird, like that whole thing. But yeah, we used to get slapped, and I'm not a narc apparently either, or a narc. But yeah, that's lots of awesome. Like a lot of bad shit when I was drinking. I got a DUI in 2019 after like my very best friend in the whole world got killed. And
oh damn,
that was like, it was worse than when my mom died. I guess it was like a reservation that I thought I was prepared for because I really knew that he was already on his way out. I thought it was going to be alcoholism though, but he got gunned down in a fucking McDonald's parking lot due to alcoholism because he was drunk and got out of the car in the drive-thru, take a piss in the bushes, and he walked back up. All of the cars would move forward. At least this is a story that like I have. He just walked up to the wrong car, but it also like makes me think like, what was that cat in the car doing that he felt the need that he had to shoot somebody?
Trying
to
get into somebody else's
car.
Yeah,
all the cars. Yeah. So see, he was drunk and got out to piss, walked back over. All the cars moved forward. Bam, dead. But after that, like. That was my best friend. He was actually my first boyfriend since I was, when I was 14, he broke up with me because I wouldn't kiss him when I was 14. Yeah, but he was my best friend in the whole world. Yeah, like
that's
after
sad.
After that, I really lost my shit. Like, I didn't freak out like that even when my mom died. So, I ended
Did
up
your
getting,
mom die in a tragic way behind the disease or something?
In a way, yeah. She had a really bad heart problem, and then she just never stopped smoking. She had a couple open heart surgeries, so it really did a lot of damage to her. But, I mean, it's okay. She was an awful human.
Really?
So, God rest her soul.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got a DUI 2019, and that really, it was an eye-opener because I could have killed somebody. I could have killed myself. It could have been a lot worse. I'm thankful that it hadn't been. But after that, I really slowed down the drinking, but I was still just, like, I was in the closet about it. And
yeah.
I mean, a lot of times at night, it would just be me, like, drinking at night just to fucking sleep. And I think that's, like, the worst that it can be because nobody knows that it's going on, you know, like that's when I recognized that I really did have a problem. And I hear a lot of people talking about that in the program, but,
isolation at the end, that's where it ends up. You know what I mean? It's like, it's no longer social. You're not doing it to like, you know, get together and fucking hang out. It's a special occasion. You're literally like just getting through your fucking duties or whatever it is for the day. And then you're just, getting down, you know? It's sad. You know it's going to wear off. You're going to fucking pass out, wake up, have to do it all over again.
Yep.
It's awful, man.
It's just a cycle. I used to, do you guys have Aldi out here?
Yeah, the grocery store.
Yeah, so I'm really well known in my town for working at Aldi for a long time. I also used to have Dreads for like 8 years. Oh, recently, I have one left. I just like took all of them out. It was very foul. But
they're really hard to keep clean and shit, huh?
Yeah, but so when I was working at Aldi, have you guys ever seen the memes online about like how everybody scans so fast? Like, oh, stop fucking throwing my shit in the cart like a crackhead. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. I was the crackhead in the bathroom. Like, I was in the bathroom smoking crack on inventory day. But I actually, corporate came back and they said that, yo, Ashley's got the best inventory counts out of like company history or some shit like in our district. And I was like, I was in the bathroom smoking crack. Like,
you get the year up there taking the award for the inventory. You're like, I'd like to thank my
I wish I got an award. Like, give me a fucking discount or something. But no,
they don't give you a discount at Aldi.
No, everything's already discounted.
Oh,
what's Aldi?
It's a grocery store.
Yeah, so it's Trader Joe's sister company.
Oh, is it Trader Joe's? Mm-hmm. I just remember they opened one near my in-laws down in Orange County, and it was like, oh, this new store is opening up. And it's like, it's very plain, right?
I guess.
There's not a lot of like, you know what I mean? Like if you go to like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or Sprouts or all these stores, they all have their kind of energy or their vibe or Ralph's or whatever, but it just seemed kind of like,
I think Aldi's vibe is just crackhead.
Yeah. Is it like, do they have their own brand stuff? Is it all Trader Joe's?
So they are known for like having their prices so low, I guess, because of that, but their ergonomic system's different. So people literally are like scanning shit so fast and just throwing it in the cart. Like you have to bag all your own shit.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So like that's the premise.
You bag your own shit?
Yeah.
You ever been? Yeah. I need it. I haven't, you know, damn. I'm getting FOMO, you know?
Yeah, right.
There's an Aldi in Los Feliz. There's an Aldi in Los Feliz.
Where?
Field trip.
Yeah, there's a, oh, it's Albertsons, my bad.
Fuck, I fucked up, man, my bad. No, yeah.
Trippy.
I'm going to look it up right now. Not Aldo.
Aldo is the one in Germany, which I have been to.
Yeah. Oh, there's one. There's one in Alhambra.
In Germany, it's like Albrecht North and South, I guess. Why are we talking about the fucking grocery store? Because I was smoking crack in the bathroom. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Alhambra.
I'm pulling up.
Alhambra.
What does crack taste like?
Inglewood got one.
I don't know. A mixture of like weird chemicals that are not supposed to go.
Is it actually flavorful in a way?
And cool, smooth cocaine.
Yeah. So it's not, but one of our guests who you kind of touched on this, a few people kind of touched on it, and one of our past guests, Gilbert, who he never admitted for years. He was like, I'm not a crackhead. Don't call me that. I don't smoke crack. He goes, I smoke Freebase. You know, he was a Freebase guy, you know. And I think I heard him speak or maybe take a cake or something a few years in at a Sunday meeting that some of us go to, you know, and it's a big meeting and he was there and he's speaking and he goes, and then I blah, 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 and then I started smoking crack. And me and his sister both looked at each other. We were like, oh, like we were shook because he had never, you know, he was like, I smoke Freebase, you know. But his whole thing was you can't wait because like when you cook it up, you like there's different ways to make it, you know. And he would use the ammonia, which is kind of like the cleanest way to make the Freebase, you know. Like the baking soda is when you add to it. The Freebase is when you're freeing the base in the cocaine. Oh, so you're using the ammonia.
And then the old school dudes, like I've heard stories and I've seen a couple times, they like get Bacardi 151 on a plate with like cotton balls on like a little clamp, and they like light that and they like light it and fucking smoke it all slow and shit.
Ether, if you can get pure ether, that's the stuff. That's how you get the cleanest stuff. But it's really hard to get like chemical grade ether, which we ended up at one point getting in that. But the thing is, you got to wait for it to dry before you start smoking it. You know, so like, and that's so hard when you're a crackhead because you want to smoke it now. You can't, you know, can't fucking wait. You know, so we would always get like coffee filters and we would dry it with coffee filters because that would pull out as much of the moisture as you could. Yeah. And then you would kind of throw in like
meth
a paste.
Is coffee filters too.
Yeah, and you would throw a paste in the pipe and you kind of just hit it and then it crackles a little bit and then it'll melt down and then you know and then you get it. It's not as good as if it was fully dry, but. Yeah. But it's pretty good. And then Gilbert discovered this life hack, one might say, you know, where he would use different tea bags. So he would get tea bags and he would flavor his
crack.
Oh yeah. My god!
So he have like Earl Grey or fucking
raspberry tea, like
oolong,
like a mint crack hit.
Dude, I could go for some like bergamot flavored crack.
Yeah,
you have that bergamot spray.
Bergamot's good. So good. Shit.
Yeah, you said Earl Grey. Like,
Yeah, that's what's in Earl Grey, huh? It's bergamot.
Man, yeah. Could you imagine like if somebody like if you would have ever like capitalized on that shit? I mean, come on.
We had this idea, right? And we almost were like, we're gonna fucking run with this. This is like when e-cigarettes first came out.
Yeah,
we figured out we were like, we wanted, because it's like when you're of the nature of the alcoholic addict that I am, I don't just want to be smoking when I'm in the house and whatever. I want to be smoking. I want to just like be out in the world. I want to be on the metro bus at the fucking at Hollywood and Highland in the mall. I want to be fucking taking a blast of amphetamines or cocaine or whatever
it is.
But how do you do that in public without, you know? So we start thinking, and this is when e-cigs first come out. And you're like, oh, look, like you can smoke, but you can smoke in places where you can't smoke. And we're like, oh my God, what we need to do is figure out a way how to incorporate this into our using, yeah. Right? So we figured out, we basically got meth and we got this, like, you know, whatever, like without giving away the formula, whatever, I'm sure you find out. We got like vegetable glycerin, and then we got this other stuff, and then we got flavors, and we were able to come up with a meth that you can put in a vaporizer.
Oh, wow.
And
and this was like pre, like the big, like fucking... Like the big, the one that you were smoking?
Yeah,
like
it wasn't one of those. Duper, yeah.
The robot dick.
Yeah. Wait, robot, you vaped?
Yeah.
This was when it was like a little tiny like e-cig pen thing. You remember those?
Yeah,
like
sure,
the ones
yeah.
like that you would unscrew to charge. So we had those and we put meth in there. And then we were like, wait, but if it works with that, it would also work.
With cocaine.
Crack. Yeah. But wow. The crack, the problem with it was the baking soda and the additive to it would block the coil and it would filter it. So then... we were like, well, what'll happen if you put the freebase in there? And we put the freebase in there, and it was fucking, it was on. It was on. And
it worked. That's amazing.
And then I remember being like, we're going to do this, and we're going to call this. This is Chris Collins and I. We're fucking smoking this, you know? And we're like, oh, we're going to name this drug E-Base. You know? It's like freebase, but it's E-Base. The E-Base.
Yes.
You know?
And that's how, did that come out of Chop Chop's mouth?
I think it was mine, but maybe yeah. It was him. Yeah. So we're sitting there, we're hitting it, and it was like, dude, every fucking hit you take, like, it just, everything goes numb, you know? And it, like, it hit hard, and then I remember being like, we're going to introduce this to the streets, and we're going to take...
the we're city
gonna,
is yeah. mine.
Yeah.
Dude,
we're going to take out the suburb white man like the fucking CIA did yeah. with the fucking hood in the yeah. 80s, you know? And then I was like,
shit,
dude, like,
well,
yeah.
Serious.
It got real serious, and I was like, if we really, like, rolled this out and really, like, marketed it well,
yeah.
we could have taken down, like, an entire, you know, like an entire fucking...
infrastructure. It reminds me of a meme I saw on Two Tone's Instagram. He reposted. It was like someone put, "I learned how to make crack in an air fryer. The city is mine."
Yo, air fryers, you can do anything with them things.
Really?
That's some genius shit, though.
Like, it is. My wife always tries to make food in there, but it always tastes like shit. I want to fry it for real.
What was he cooking in the air fryer? Crack?
Yeah, that's what it said on the meme. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
You got an air fryer? All right. I'm going to put you on right now. Baked potato.
Really?
Baked potato. The best baked potato you've ever had in your life, air fryer.
Throw the whole thing in? You put the, like,
you
the
take the whole
it?
Thing. You, all right, yeah. You take the baked potato. You wash the outside of it. Like, wash it nice. Take yeah. a fork when it's wet. Put a bunch of fucking holes in there. Put it on. I forget what exact temperature it is. I think it's 350, 375.
Yeah.
10 minutes, you like turn it all the way, or maybe whatever, you know?
Yeah, high. Those yeah. baked potatoes have to, it's normally a baked potato in the fucking oven is like an hour.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is like 25, 30 minutes, you know? Spray it with the avocado oil. You get the little spritz, right? A little Maldon salt that you fucking sprinkle on the outside.
On the
you
got to
get
flakes,
that
yeah.
good shit, you know? Spray it, let it sit, flip it over, do the same thing to the other side, put it back in there. It's the most, the skin is fucking perfectly crispy on the outside.
Ooh.
The inside is so good.
I'm gonna
Dave
do it
knows.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So wait, it's 10 minutes on each side?
I'll send you the rest.
Yeah, is that why Keith bought an air fryer?
Probably.
Yeah. He bought it like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. He buys so much random shit. Every couple of weeks there's some brand new device, Larry, like the cooking device or like some sort of like...
He gets hooked up a lot too.
Yeah, some kind of tweaker device, maybe sober device, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like really... Yeah, I saw the fryer there. I'm like, what? That's crazy.
I don't really know much about air fryers. I bought one for my neighbor though and he was like drunk, passed out. So I pulled a bar stool over in front of him and put the air fryer like right on it and he woke up and I could hear him through the air and he's like, whoa! And it was a really good investment. He cooks for me all the time now. Wow. So like, I don't know how to use it, but
Yeah,
I got my neighbor one.
You can cook everything in them. I'm like a snob about how I like fries and tater tots and shit done.
That'd
and
the crazy. Air fryer
or like sweet potato fries, they come out banging if you crush them right there. But if they sit for any length of time, they're like,
Yeah, like the McDonald's hash brown, like 1 minute, right? 5 minutes, and then it's all bad. You know what I'm saying? Like you only got a little bit. One thing I want to bring up is like, it's interesting with Ashley's thing is like, how many other people listen to It's All Bad and use it as a main modality to like get through the day and learn about how this like a disease is and learn about addiction and alcoholism. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that is wild.
So like, there's probably more people out there that actually like, have this as a like as a huge like a modality to like actually learn about.
Yeah, you know I think Danny, you get some messages. People hit me up. This is a fucking one in a zenith, you know.
Like honestly, I tried to turn a lot of people onto this and. Nobody was going. I specifically sent Lawrence's episode to a few of my guy friends, like, yo, like, you have to check this out. This is amazing. And they're like, why the fuck are you listening to this? Like, I am a guy, essentially. But like, I've tried to turn people onto this, but they're lost.
Yeah, you know, I know some people you have to break in easy, like my kind of pseudo normie friends, like couples that we're friends with through, like, you know, family and stuff, like, where the guys are kind of like, cool, you know. Uh-huh. I always have to like introduce them with like the Jeremy Jackson episode, something kind of like lighter weight, where it's like, oh, okay, there's some like celebrity in here, and there's some fucking war stories, and it's a little bit, and then you can kind of hear the humanity of using and what using takes from people, and then they just go on a deep dive.
Yeah.
Like some of my buddies that I saw tonight that are like. You know, normal kind of cats, you know, like one's a super accomplished artist and the other one is like, you know, real estate developer guy. But, you know, they both come from backgrounds where they fucked around a little bit, you know, and they're just like, when's the new shit out? They love my one buddy, Rob. He like really loves the Blackie episode.
Oh, yeah. Blackie's coming back.
Dude, Blackie's coming back. I have to tell Rob about Blackie coming back. I keep forgetting to do that, though.
Yeah, he's
shout out Jay Shells and Rob.
Yeah.
Yo, Margaret was pretty tight. I listened to the other day. So, like, I had to have, like, it was so weird. I heard that she was asking about Lawrence, and like my alcoholic brain was like, oh, "Fuck you, Margaret." It was the funniest thing. Like, yeah, so I called.
Back the fuck up.
Yeah. Who am I? But then, like, it's just my alcoholic brain. And it's
totally.
Like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, Margaret.
She's
chill.
A friend. She's a homie. She's. Yeah.
I can't believe she's a fan of mine, Margaret. If you're listening to this, man, you're awesome. Like, I never imagined you'd give a fuck about me. You even heard of it? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's rad.
People love you.
You know, actually, to talk about it, Margaret was my very first comedy show I've ever seen on TV in my entire life.
Really?
She and I couldn't stop laughing. The first time I actually felt pure joy boisterous laughter. And what she was talking about like kids in China that were getting their fingers cut off from making shoes for like rich people or something like that. And the way she said it was like, oh, daddy, I lost my finger. Like the way she said it was so funny. I had to keep replaying and rewinding it because it was so funny. And I was like, and I never got a chance to tell her because like, you know, like we're there to do our purpose, primary purpose. So I don't want to pull it aside and be like, but that was my main thing. And I was like, damn, that's so funny she asked about me because like that was one of my funniest first laughs. Like this is first experience of the comedy. Like, daddy, I lost my finger. Like, and then she's like, this is like, it was so rad. It was just so funny for me to see that. It was like amazing.
I was telling her when she was in here when we did the episode, I was like, fuck, I remember I've been watching you for so long. Like, she's been doing her thing for a long time. And yeah, she's awesome, hilarious. Yeah,
she's so great.
So accomplished.
Yeah. I know, Lawrence is just like so excited.
What do your friends think when they hear the Miss Elliott episode?
I don't know if they listen.
They don't go
to
that
this.
Deep.
Yeah. That one was great. Yeah.
You were there for Miss Elliott. Were you there?
Yes, I was there. We were all shaking in our boots. We were all like fucking shaking in our boots. Miss Elliott's story was bananas.
Yeah. Miss Elliott is when people are like, what's one, you know, like That's one that I, if I, it depends, because you got to suss it out. It's like, you know, if, do you want to like shock somebody or give them like something, you know, because that's one of like, to me, that episode fucking is so, you know, it's
it was
so great.
Incredible. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, all of us were fucking bright red by the end of it. You know?
Yeah.
Honestly, I felt bright red just like, listening to it.
He's talking about there's only one glory hole left in LA. He said, it's at my apartment. He was serious. He was like, Boyle Heights, this is the address.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, boy, it was funny.
So great. Elliot's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh. Yeah. I like the part where he was saying that he was so like lame to the game, and he was so like dumb about shit. He started like turning tricks, and he's like out in New Orleans running up and down the boulevard, and like someone's like, "Hey, what are you doing out here?" He's like, "I'm just out here turning tricks." Like it was an undercover cop.
Oh man, yeah, so good. Elliot will literally be like, "I spoke at Hollywood Squares." You know, once you ever been there?
Hell yeah, so it's good. Yeah. Yeah,
Hollywood Squares is like the new hope of the gay homies.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah,
it's big and it's a show. And I spoke, and then Elliot took a cake that night for, I don't know how many, 30, whatever, how many years, you know? And Elliot comes up and goes, "Danny, I'm so glad you're speaking tonight. I've been trying to suck that dick ever since your ass been sober." She goes, "How long you been sober now?" I was like, 4.5 years. "I've been trying to suck that dick for 4.5 years. Meeting from the podium.
It's hot squares, man. Yeah. Like, you know, no holds barred. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm all, oh, great. Yeah.
Dude, he is so ruthless. It's funny.
So good. Okay, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
I have. Actually, my mom, I have a picture of her 4 months after she died, but at the meth farm commune, there's a lot of like weird energy around that place, but honestly, like it could have been the drugs because I was really young. But yeah, this picture I got of my mom is like her full spirit apparition. It's pretty fucking amazing.
I actually saw it. Actually, like maybe we can up. I saw it. It looks like a
no,
ghost.
No, that's private.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, because I was changing, and it was like she's like standing in front of me. And so it was just like long hair, hospital gown, and like the frontal lobe part where like she had brain surgery. So like that part's missing. But like there was all sorts of weird shit happening like right after she died. And I know like one thing with like Tibetan, like Buddhism, Hindu stuff, the Bardos talk about like those 49 days after death and like the things that can happen. And fuck, where was I going with that? The dream. So, like, they'll, like, send you dreams in those 49 days. And, like, I had one of those dreams. And, like, the doorknob used to fucking, like, move and, like, lights. And then this picture happened. And, like, what Lawrence was touching on earlier about, like, my obsession with death is, like, I always had this fear of it because I lived in a hospital a lot of my childhood. And every time we would go to the hospital for her to have, like, open heart surgery or brain surgery or something, like, I just thought my mom was going to die. So I would just sneak off to the chapel by myself, right? So all these years, like all this shit, and then that's what she could give me after she died was coming to me in a picture. And this was like after smartphones came out, but like before all the apps and like filters and all that shit. So like I did years of research. I still randomly do to like see if I can find that, but it's completely authentic. And I think it's beautiful that I got that, and that's what she gave me. That was like the one gift that she could give to me because she was so sick her whole life and my whole life. She was just consumed by her demon. So at least I got that. It really changed my life, man. Like that picture, it showed me that there's more than I can see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's pretty wild. That's incredible. Yeah. That's heavy, man. That's really heavy.
Wow.
Well,
as a fan of this show as well, you know what the other question I'm going to ask you is?
So I would say no, I haven't, but a lot of the
for those that, if this is your first episode listening, have you ever smoked PCP?
I have not, right. But I don't know if you ever got into like the research chems, but like a lot of the 2Cs are really similar. So I had a really crazy trip on like 2CI, 2CB, and just like from listening to you guys and like other people's accounts of PCP, like it seems pretty similar. Man, I did this shit and I thought it was coke and I railed like half a gram of this shit, right?
Whoa.
Never did any of this shit before. And I was at, outside of Chicago, and I think it was Elgin. And I was pretty young. I was like 18, 19. And I went up there like thinking I was going to be cool, go to this like country bumpkin rave. But I ended up pudding wrestling and I almost got like drowned in the fucking like hay bale like pool of pudding. It was fucked up. Some stripper beat my ass in this pudding. It was great though. But then got a hold of this shit, thought it was some blow. It was a half gram of some 2Cs. And I made it as far as the car, man. Like I went to the bathroom and saw my face melt. And I was like, fuck, I shouldn't have looked in the mirror. And then the wall started like eating itself. I made it to the car and I forgot that like we picked up this dwarf on the way out there. And then like it started. I guess I do have stories, but yeah, so like I made it to the car and was like, fuck, I gotta find the car that brought me here because I'm about to die. Like so and then the dwarf, he did the other half of the line. I think his name was Joe. So we both like made it to our ride home and he kept trying to like fuck me and I'm just like tripping balls and it starts and then thinking I'm dying and then a thunderstorm starts and like the time difference makes me think of PCP because the lightning, it was like it was daylight, it was just like like forever, it seemed like it was the most uncomfortable experience. Whoa. But also really tight, like that is probably the closest to PCP.
Did you ever? You never touched any of the 2C, any of that shit, the research chemicals. Did you ever?
No, I read about it like when I'd be on like you know I'd be on Reddit looking on meth posts like meth Reddit, but like I saw the other research chemicals, but I never like.
They were a lot of fun.
They were a lot of fun.
You did those?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I had a I did like 2CI, 2CB. Those were the two that, you know,
Does it sound similar to what I'm saying?
Okay, 100%, so yeah. It was described to me where it was like a candy flip, you know, which is like acid and ecstasy, but with like almost like an opiated element to it, like where it kind of like slows it down a bit, you know?
Yeah, super slow and like disassociated for me at least.
And I think they're all a little bit different because it's a fucking made in a lab, you know? So... but kind of like what isn't at this point, you
for
know?
Sure, yeah.
We're just doing research.
I'm just the chemist. But I had some, we had some that I got and I was like, you know, I took some when Sasha and I were together and I like saved one or two pills and we had a storage unit for the first, I mean, I still, this is like embarrassing because I've probably.
You still have that storage
unit? I still have it. Sasha took all of her shit out of it and I was like, oh, maybe I have some stuff over here.
Yeah.
And I like downsized it. I paid for like a 10 by 10 for I don't know how long, you know. Now I'd like downsize it down to like a, I think it was a 7 by, now I think it's like a 5 by 10, whatever, you know, it's a smaller unit. But when we were cleaning our shit out, we were going through, we were both still at CRLA and we were like going through stuff. And I found a jar that had like 3 or 4 2CI, 2CBs in it. And I was like, whoa. And I'm like, you know, I'm not working at the time. And I'm like, maybe I'll sell it or do something, you know. And she saw that fucking look and that little sparkle in my eye when I picked it up and looked at it. And she was like, what are you going to do? I was like, oh, no, I'll leave that here and then I'll get, like, I'll throw, you know. And she goes, okay. And she's like, leave it there. And I was like, no. She's like, you're in rehab. You can't bring it with you. You know? And I was like, all right. And so I put it in the storage unit. And then we left. And then when I came back the next time, I was like, where's that 2C? You know? Yeah. And it was gone.
Oh.
And I was like, Sasha, what'd you do? She was like, dude, I saw how you looked at that. Like, fuck that. You don't need to have that fucking
shit.
She
was looking out.
She was looking out. She was looking out. Yeah. Because you know who I would have sold that to? Myself.
I'm going to give myself $5.
Yeah. It's a trip, actually. You never talk about your acid or mushroom hooks. You know what I'm saying, dude? Like, you got that shit on lock.
Man, acid's tight. So acid and mushrooms, those are like, that's medicine. I feel like those should definitely be considered for medicinal quality.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm big into mushrooms. I love mushrooms. I did, like, I've had one heroic dose on mushrooms on an accident, and I watched the universe just give birth to herself before my eyes. I was on my buddy's roof by myself out in the country, and it just, like...
How much mushrooms? How many?
Probably, like, 3 grams.
3 grams?
Mm. For me, it's... It had been a while. With, like, mushrooms and acid, your tolerance is built up, like, immediate. So, like, if you go, like, 2 days in a row, you have to double up, and it had been a long time since I'd done mushrooms, and it was actually... It ended up being really bad, because it was, fuck, man, I really like need to make an amends to them. It was my friend's engagement party, and I was actually in their wedding party. And after we had our like formal party for like the family and like whatever, all the important people, that's when I ate it, and I disappeared. And it was that's one of those ones that I'm really embarrassed about, but also it was really transformative for me and like a really beautiful thing to literally watch the universe give birth. Yeah, never again. I will never eat that. I did. What, it was like 2 years ago. I ate a gram and jumped out of an airplane, so it was like falling into existence. Whoa. It was pretty tight.
With a parachute.
Yeah, I was
cool. Yeah, got it.
He didn't know I ate a gram.
Oh wow, I wish I did that when I went. I went with John. Yeah, John Ciano. I jumped out of the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, you did jump out of a plane.
I did. Yeah. I did with John. Yeah.
Did you get in Oceanside or where'd you guys go?
Oceanside. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting with like Gabby. Like, so like I've been following her, like watching some of her stuff. Uh-huh. In one of her episodes, she on the Bobby Lee thing she just did, like they talk about sex, and she's like, "Oh wait, I've never fucked an Asian guy." And actually, that's not true because John is 30% Korean. So, there you go. Yeah. So,
oh, you did that with John that was here,
John Ciano.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah, I jumped out of a plane with him. Yeah.
Why does he do that?
Or no, he
they
was
did
we
it together.
With the homies,
were,
we just drove down
went
and
as homies and wanted to both
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, and this guy's like athletic marvel. Like he can do anything with his hand eye coordination, but he got sick.
Really?
Yeah. When he left, he told me afterwards he almost threw up. So being like a genius athletic marvel dude, like he got really sick from it. It was really funny.
He got sick from the experience.
No, he got so woozy coming down from the plane.
Yeah.
Being the athlete that he is, it was crazy that he actually like you know what I'm saying that he actually almost wanted to throw up. It was crazy, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Yeah. I'd want to do it. I get like weird motion sickness shit now, you know?
Oh, really?
Where I think I would need to like, I'm good on boats. I'm good on like, you know, but roller coasters and shit, I get like.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know. My brother's a pilot and he always said, why jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
I mean, the last one I jumped out of on those mushrooms is literally duct taped together. It was so, so sketchy. It was a small plane. The first time I did it, I went to like one of the, I don't know, like branded places where it's like planes in and out all day. Yeah. I'd wait like 8 hours to do it. But this last one, it was like five of us in the middle of a fucking cornfield.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, they showed up. They were like 30 minutes late. They brought the plane in. They had to disassemble the nose of it and like fix like a spring in the front. So it was already like super sus already. And then like I'm tripping on mushrooms and I'm like, oh, fuck, man. Like, let's go. Like, this thing's duct taped together. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. Do it. Like, if you ever get a chance, just jump out of a fucking airplane.
Yeah.
Man. Do it.
Sounds, I'm going to do it.
Do
I'm
it.
Do, I'm that doing
crazy.
It. I'm doing it. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, hey, oh, man, it's so good to have you on.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Ashley, for coming out. Lawrence, we love you. Congrats on
I love everybody out there. Oh, shout out to Sirius Bronson. Shout outs to Ian. Shout outs to all the Johnny Luna. Shout outs to all the homies listening to the podcast. Love you guys. You guys are rad. You know what I'm saying? Who else? For sure. Yeah.
And hey, and congrats, you two.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Congratulations, you guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
It's all bad.
For once, it wasn't all bad.
Yeah, for once, it wasn't all bad. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's it. Period.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you.
Oh, I love you guys. Yeah.